Thank you, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and we're 318-2981-7200. That's our phone number and our text line. This is one of those shows. Every once in a while, a show will come up, and you take a look at it on paper, and you go, I don't even think that we could screw this one up. This looks like a pretty solid show.
Oh, we can screw anything up.
Yeah, we could, if we set our minds to it, still screw it up. But, boy, it has the makings of a really good show when you think about it.
And it's Friday Eve.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
So true.
Michael Rooker is going to be at Wizard World, and we are going to talk to him in a little bit. And there's another guest who's going to be there at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. He's an actor. He's a writer. He's a producer. He's a musician. He's got a new book that he's going to debut. It's in his hand.
He is heir to the Papa Nicholas coffee throne. Someday all that Papa Nicholas coffee money will go his way. It's Thomas Ian Nicholas making a return engagement to the show. Thomas,
Bill and Wendy,
nice
thank you for having me again.
Nice to see you.
Absolutely.
Just wouldn't be a visit if I didn't come and say hi.
You know what? I saw you a week or so ago at Wrigley throwing out the first pitch, and it looked to me like you were having the best time you ever had.
It was amazing, and you know, I got to sing the seventh inning stretch as well. So
nervous at all or not nervous at all? Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. No. They know to stop giving me the lyrics. Because they get up there and they're like, give you the lyrics. I'm like, I don't need the lyrics.
But there are some people who, when they look out and they go, uh-oh, there's 35,000 people looking at me. I'm a little nervous. You don't get any of that.
No, no. I even opened it up with my my little Henry quote. I don't know if you hear that. I started out the seventh inning stretch with Henry, re, ro, ro, and gar, gar, ner, ner.
Boy, you do that well.
And then I said like some other line from it, I think, as well. I said, what's this?
Yes.
The Cubs are bringing in their right fielder to pitch?
Yeah.
It's weird that you weren't nervous about it, because I know you're a musician and you play to crowds, but I don't know. Sometimes those baseball crowds are very unforgiving, and they make fun of you afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely got made fun of one year because I tried to, like, impersonate Harry Carey. And I think everyone just thought I was drunk because I didn't have the glasses, you know, so, and I'm holding a beer, you know, because that was Harry. So, yeah. Like, and I was like, all right, Cubs fans. And, like, they were just like, man, why is that guy, like, so drunk for the seventh inning stretch?
Whoops.
So I got made fun of that year.
And do you hear it differently? Because I know a lot of times, who was a real bad one? Mike Ditka was pretty terrible.
Mike Ditka was horrible. Ozzy Osbourne was horrible.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Let's be fair. When you're hearing an organ, like, yeah. I remember the first time I did, I think I blew out my voice. Because, you know, the organ, like, Gary plays the organ, and, like, it's like, what? It's like three octaves that you hear.
Right.
You
true.
Know, so, like, he's holding that note down, and it's just, like, it's just kind of waning out as you get everyone started.
Yeah.
And you could start, like, take, but you could start here. Take, and then if you start up, you're dead.
Screwed.
Yeah. Like, then the first year I did it in 08, I started way too high. I was like, take me out. I was like,
oh, no. And there's no rehearsal. You don't come in an hour before the game with Gary Pressey and say, let's just work on some things.
Well, you go into his, like, booth beforehand, but it's obviously a different thing when he's, like, there
oh, yeah.
and he, like, plays it. When you hear it over the whole stadium, you know what I mean? You're just, like, kind of, I don't know. You got to know the note you're starting on. You like one of those little whistles.
Right, the tuning thing.
Yeah. Harmonica. I've seen some celebrities do a thing where they sing the first line or two, and then they put all the pressure on the fans. They'll hold the microphone out, and they'll hold it so the pressure's on you people.
That's when they
me.
Change key, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, the number one rule is you just got to make sure you sing about the Cubbies.
Right.
It's
right.
not just the home team.
No,
like
you
got to
say the
else.
Word Cubbies.
Yeah.
That's important.
Forgive me, I didn't watch it. I'm a Sox fan. Did you get it over the plate?
Of course. I always get it over the plate.
All right. I
mean,
sorry.
To be fair, at the 20th year anniversary, I did hit the plate, but that's because I floated it.
So. Did you see the guy last week who threw out the first pitch? I don't remember which Major League Stadium it was, but he throws it so far that he hits a guy.
Oh, I saw that.
In
yeah,
the, in the worst possible place you could hit a guy. That was so.
But it was like a wild pitch. Yeah. It went up. It was a guy standing behind home plate.
A fan or a player?
A guy who was there. He looked like he was a member of the press or something.
So he wasn't wearing a cup.
Definitely not wearing a cup, and not expecting a ball to hit him there.
Yeah,
and he's dead. That man passed away. It's very sad.
When are you going to be at Wizard World? All weekend?
All weekend. It starts tonight. And I was here last time telling you about Handbook for Mortals, which we've been pre-selling at Wizard World. But the book came out August 15th. And obviously, if
there
you're listening
is.
In, you can't see me holding it. But obviously, Bill and Wendy get to see it. So here's the book, Handbook for Mortals by my business partner and author, Lanny Sarum. USA Today actually just put it as number 34. For all books.
Wow.
And that's like ebooks, hardcover, paperback, you know, everything. So we've got our eyes, we're definitely going to be paying attention on Saturday when the New York Times list comes out and see where we end up. And so we'll have the book at Wizard World. Lanny is there, who's sitting right behind me.
Hi, Lanny.
And she'll be there to sign them, and I'll sign them too if people want. So you can actually get the book at Wizard World Comic Con here in Chicago.
Why is it that highly ranked so quickly? What is it? Was there a built-in audience that already knew some of the story? How did it become so highly renowned so quickly?
Well, we've been doing the Wizard World tour since Philly. Was that in April, Jerry? It was April, right? So we did Wizard World Philly, Sacramento, Columbus, and obviously Chicago.
Yeah.
We've been doing pre-sales for the book. So those pre-sale numbers definitely helped our opening. And so I know what those numbers are. But obviously, you know, when the book came out in stores.
Yes.
And we've been doing, you know, press for it. We've been on your show. It's probably because we were on your show.
Probably a lot
He's
of that
so
is,
sweet, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. That's. I mean, yeah. I think that's what – that was the thing that like kind of the, you know, the nail –
Is
the nail in the coffin. That's
the
what
coffin.
We usually are to people, so
is
that's
possible?
Good.
Or the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know.
Is
it
catalyst?
Maybe Jerry just keeps buying copies? Is it possible Jerry just keeps
No, because that would only count as, you know, that would, I don't think that would count.
No.
I mean, I love Jerry. Nothing
it has to be
Jerry.
Individual sales. It's not just one person buying thousands and thousands of copies.
Exactly.
That's great.
It's. I mean, as far as I know, the book is available in you know, about 500 retail stores across the country.
That's tremendous. Congratulations.
Brief synopsis of it?
The synopsis is a young woman moves to Las Vegas to join a magic show, and it turns out she can do real magic. So later this year, Lanny, the author, and I will be producing this into a film along with Chris Kenner, who is David Copperfield's exec producer. So we'll be shooting it in Vegas. You know, in the fall.
Congratulations.
That's all good news. Have you found a part for yourself in this?
Yes, I have a part. I mean, I try to pick like supporting characters because obviously producing has a lot of responsibilities. And I've been doing this a fair amount recently. I've got another film called The Lost Tree that comes out on Friday the 13th in October.
Yeah.
With Michael Madsen and Lacey Chabert. I produced it and starred in it. And then Living Among Us comes out in January. It's unfortunately John Hurd's last movie.
But
I produced and starred in that. And I'm actually going to call later today. I'm calling the Music Box Theater.
Yeah.
Because we've got a theater in LA and a theater in New York for The Lost Tree. I got to add Chicago in.
Oh, I hope so.
So
I would love that.
I'm going to
give
them a call
later
names.
Today.
Can I tell you a
I'm
secret
doing it.
About...
I'm like, listen, I'm going to seal this deal right now. Bill and Wendy.
Yeah, that's all you need to say. Can I tell you a secret just between you and me about Michael Madsen? He's crazy.
He is crazy.
He's crazy.
That's
a secret.
Everybody knows it. He's crazy.
I love him.
I actually am. When I get back to LA, I think next week there's this guy I met in. I was here with my band last week.
Yeah.
So we played in Bradley, Illinois.
Oh yeah.
And I met the limo driver, Tim, who was the limo driver in Rookie of the Year.
Oh really?
How
so
weird is that?
He's making a documentary about Michael Madsen. I don't know if I can actually say it's American Bad. I don't know. I can say that on the radio.
American Bad Rear End.
Rear End, yes.
That's a silly name.
American Bad Butt.
American Bad Heine was the original title, and people said, no one wants to see this.
Right.
No one wants to know about this.
But yeah, so it's all about Madsen, and so I'm going to be doing an interview about my time of working with Madsen. I've done a couple of films with him, so...
I interviewed him once, and in a radio station in a studio, you're not allowed to smoke. And I let him know that, and he goes, really? And he just kept smoking. Like it didn't affect him at all.
I mean, if you had told him before he had a cigarette, I'm sure he would have lit up at that moment.
I can't believe you even said anything to him.
Oh, yeah. It was he and David Carradine together because it was a Tarantino film thing. And both of them, like, I kept going, no, he's the crazy one. No, wait a minute. He's the crazy one. It was fun.
So who ended up taking the cake?
It was a tie. Yeah. Everybody was happy to know it ended in a tie.
Speaking of, you know, our last visit here, we were talking about being in sports films. Have you ever interviewed Gary Busey?
I've never. No, have you? So,
well,
have you met him?
Have I met Gary Busey? Yeah. Well, I did Rookie of the Year with him.
He was in the movie, but does he actually meet people? I just imagine they shoot him privately. So he doesn't bite anybody.
That would probably, I was just curious if, you know, where he would rate on the Michael Madsen level.
I've only seen him on TV and of course in films and stuff, but.
Well, then you know him. I mean, pretty much that's
he'd
him.
He'd go over Madsen. He'd be worse, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
A different kind of crazy.
Who's
of all the celebrity types you've met over the years, is he number one? Is he the king of the hill when it comes to potentially crazy?
Who, Busey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be up there?
I can't really, like, maybe I already told this story last time, and stop me if I did, but my favorite quip is that he was the nicest to me on the set of Rookie of the Year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he once carried me by my underwear 25 feet across the lunchroom in front of 100 crew members.
You know what? Judy
but he
Dench
was the
did
nicest
the
to
me.
He was the
Judy
nicest.
Dench
to me.
Judy Dench did the same exact
carried you
thing
by your
to
underwear?
Me. Yeah, for no reason. I don't want to talk about it. I get all, look at me. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. I'll be fine.
That's when she got her dame added
to her
title.
I don't want to talk about it.
Wow.
Dench takes on a whole new meaning now.
Yes, it does. Thomas Ian Nicholas is at Comic-Con this weekend. That's today through Sunday.
It's Wizard World,
Wizard
Bill.
World.
Yes. Well, it's Wizard World Comic-Con.
Right.
It's both.
It's
everything. Right. See, that's why it's the Bill and Wendy show. Right. But Wendy, your name might go first. You might need to go first now.
That's all right.
It should.
All weekend long, you're there today through Sunday.
Yeah.
New book.
New book, Handbook for Mortals, will be available for sale, and you get it signed by the author and me, if you want.
And who wouldn't?
Why wouldn't you? All right, a quick break and then more with Thomas Ian Nicholas. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thomas Ian Nicholas is here. He's either at Wizard World or Comic-Con this weekend. Nobody knows for sure. Whatever you ask for.
I know for sure.
Which one is it?
I'm at Wizard World Comic-Con in Chicago.
Merged.
It's both.
They have finally merged. We knew this would happen eventually. Can I pitch a movie idea to you? Are you a Star Wars fan?
Of course I am.
All right, so here's my idea, because Star Wars is very popular. You know this. It's Chewbacca as a young boy, and he wants to be a baseball player, and it's called Wookiee of the Year. Do you think people would go to see that movie?
Yes,
I
would
see
that movie.
Can I tell you for sure they would? I mean, Star Wars fans.
But he wouldn't be a young boy. He'd be a young Wookiee.
A young Wookiee. A Wookiee.
Living in the treehouse in the forest where they grow up.
Sold. We have sold a film. Today's a good day.
So that's how he breaks his arm. He falls out of the treehouse.
It's all done. Who do we pitch?
It wrote itself.
There
Can
it is.
Can Gary Busey be in it?
We want
and
Gary
Michael
Busey.
Madsen?
It'd be Harry Busey. I mean, you can go all day long with this one.
I like it. This is a think tank.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably a family show, but when I was a kid, I did Rookie of the Year when I was 12. A couple years later, my brother bought me this movie. It was called Nookie of the Year.
Nookie of the
my
Year.
My mom took it away from me because it had a a woman on the front cover with a baseball, a Cubs jersey. But that's probably
she was
wearing.
Yep.
You know, they make those movies that, like, you know, they spoof the title.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I didn't mean to pull us into the Dench here, but.
Steve
Bertrand wants to jump in from the newsroom.
Your mom took it away from you because of the cover?
Yes.
Not the movie?
Well, I'm sure a little combo of both.
Yeah, she figured out what was in it because of the cover.
You can't judge a porn by its cover. No truer words have ever been spoken. When you do these fan fests, these conventions.
I just wonder, like, what the 100 mile an hour. Anyway, go ahead. When you do the fan fests.
Oh, boy.
What's the stupidest question that neither Wendy or I have ever asked you? Which is the dumbest question that anyone's ever asked you when they meet you and they know who you are?
If I really broke my arm and could pitch 100,
really?
No, they've never asked me that.
But come on, these are your fans. I mean, no question is stupid.
No.
They're probably very nervous to meet you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love doing the Wizard World Comic Cons because it's that opportunity where you get to meet people. I mean, where else can you really, like, quote unquote, go to work?
Yeah.
And my entire job is to meet people who enjoy my work.
Who love you.
Right, like that. That's not work.
That's perfect.
And the best part about it is that, you know, I still get starstruck. So if I see someone that I recognize.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. Who is the one you're most excited to see at Wizard World?
Oh, at Wizard World. I mean, man, for this Wizard World, it's always fun to see Michael Rooker, who I think he's going to be. I think he's in the same building as me right now.
Yeah, you'll see him in a second.
He's been following me all morning.
He's, on your junket?
On my junket. On my press junket. He, you know, and I realized that he's got some more pull than me because he got to get up later than I did.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's the only reason he's following me. Otherwise, I would have been following him.
You know what's great about him is we've had him on twice before.
Maybe.
At
even,
least twice. Yeah. Maybe three times. He's the nicest guy in the world, but he doesn't like you to say that on the radio because he says, I've got a reputation. If people know I'm a nice guy, they don't hire me to be a psychopath anymore.
Right.
So we have to say he's a really psycho, but he's not. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. When you're at a restaurant or something and you run, you're still starstruck sometimes.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I still have my only one chance that I had to meet Dave Grohl was in like my favorite like little Mexican restaurant, but he was there with his family. I didn't want to go up and bug him. You know, so, and I've now since like recorded in Studio 606 on the famous Neve console, but he was out of town during the time. And every time like the Foo Fighters is playing somewhere that I want to go, I'm like busy booked with my band. So it's okay though. But like Wizard World takes that away because, you know, I just know that when I see someone that I really enjoy their work or what they create, I don't want to bug them while they're eating.
Right.
Wizard World isn't that. I'm there to meet people. So it takes away that whole uncomfortable thing because as people walk by, they go, hey, I just wanted to come up and tell you that, you know,
spend
I really love this
you.
Movie or that movie or whatever. And it's just I get to shake hands and say thank you for watching.
Can I ask you about Dave Grohl? Is he always fighting Foo? Is there ever a time where he's not battling Foo?
I don't think so.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Do you know what actually a Foo Fighter is? It's like it's a kamikaze pilot.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I looked it up. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan.
So if you run into Dave Grohl again, are you going to take the time to say hello even if he's eating a taco?
I mean, probably now that I've like recorded in his studio and I'm essentially friends with some of the people that work for the Foo Fighters.
You got an in.
Yeah, I got an in. The time that I saw him at my like favorite little hole in the wall Mexican restaurant in L.A., I hadn't, you know, I didn't know anyone that he knew.
Right.
So I, you know, and it was really weird too because then like, which may he rest in peace, Chris Cornell showed up like 5 minutes later and then they started chatting. And I was just like over there going, oh my God, Dave Grohl's talking to Chris Cornell. and when I say like small Mexican restaurant, I mean like there's
really
like
small.
Seven tables.
Oh.
Like he was like 10 feet away and I was just like, tongue-tied.
You didn't
want to
go, hey, Cornell, leave him alone. He's eating. Food fighter. You didn't do that. I would have done that.
I didn't.
Bill, don't you say hi to Dave Grohl.
No, I'll leave him alone.
All right?
I'll definitely leave him alone.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah,
it really is.
Thank you for having me on the show again.
Congrats on the book, soon to be a movie.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be shooting it, like I said, later this year.
That's so exciting.
And, you know, there's going to be a few of them. We've got plans for a series of books and a series of films.
That's
so
outstanding. And everything's good with the band. You're happy with the direction the band's going in.
Yeah. The Frat Party album's still kicking. Like I said, we're just in town after the first pitch in the seventh inning stretch. We played at HVAC Pub. We played Bradley and Berwyn and, you know, just kind of, we started out in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah.
And went to Iowa, Waterloo, so, you know.
Your Midwest tour.
Yeah, that was our annual Midwest tour. I think the next tour, well, next dates are, we're playing Orlando at the House of Blues.
Nice, very nice.
And then also playing Nashville during the Nashville Wizard Comic Con.
Excellent.
Wizard
I
World
love Nashville.
Comic Con. Wow, now you got me saying it wrong. Bill, you're... Well,
I know, I'm a bad influence on
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
I am a
it's
bad
true.
Influence.
It's
I know.
True.
To
I
check
know.
Out the whole schedule of who you'd like to see besides Thomas Ian Nicholas, wizardworld.com, and your website?
ThomasNicholasBand.com, tinband.com, or ThomasIanNicholas.com. Whatever you feel like typing in, they all go to the
you'll
same place.
Just Google them, and you'll get it.
Google me up.
Thomas, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend here. I'll
thank
see you.
You
there probably tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'll come
yeah,
by
come,
and say hello.
Come by and say hello.
All right. That's Thomas E. Nicholas, everybody. We'll take a quick break, then some news, and then Michael Rooker joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
How about that? It's customized from Skip Haynes. That song, of course, Lakeshore Drive, included in Awesome Mix Volume 2 and an awesome guy in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Michael Rooker, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
You look good.
Thank you, baby.
You look better every time we see you.
I know I do.
Are you using a moisturizer?
I don't. Why? Because my skin is so
supple
and soft and hairless.
Yep.
I loved the Guardians movie. We loved you on The Walking Dead and also Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
You are cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to leave out cliffhanger because I was explaining to my daughter yesterday, a lot of times Michael plays a bad guy, but sometimes he plays a good guy.
JFK?
Yeah, JFK.
Forgot about that.
8 Men Out.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's more fun to play a bad guy, isn't it?
It's fun to work. It doesn't matter, but it's fun to play whatever they want me to play.
I bet that's true, but when you get a script, do you go through it and say to yourself, oh, I'm a bad guy again, or yay,
no,
I get to be a bad guy?
How do I make this guy badder?
Do you say that?
No one's better than you. Can I tell you that? Merle Dixon, come on, right? Do you watch Walking Dead?
Yeah, yeah. I'm all caught up. I love it.
I, I do, too.
Yeah, I like watching my friends mess up, you know? No, the show's good. Everybody's having fun on the show. Nobody's getting... You know, too sunburned down there, and yeah, it's good.
Although, who was worse, you or Negan? Because, you know, you were a badass,
Merle was never a killer.
No?
A psychopath.
No?
Merle was a tough guy.
He was misunderstood.
He was misunderstood.
And you don't want to mess with him, okay? Mm-hmm. Not, especially not in the zombie apocalypse, okay? Because there's nothing else to lose out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mess with somebody who has nothing else to lose already in real, in regular life, this is, you definitely don't want to mess with it
right.
in this situation. And Merle was like that guy, you know?
What was it like when you found out they were going to kill your character off, spoiler alert? What was it like? Like, at some point you got a script, and did you go through it every week and go, oh, I'm still alive, I get to be on the show
more? Didn't care.
No?
No, I didn't care. I, honest, I didn't care. I didn't do that. I didn't think that way. I don't ever think that way. You know, I just do my job and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Try to do it as well as possible. You know?
Yeah. You were awesome. Can you do that whistle for me?
You like the melodic one, or do you like the fast?
The fast one.
I'll get back for
it's early.
That was very good.
Yeah, it's a,
that was very good.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mellifluous.
That was beautiful, and I think my tea is ready.
Do you I can go down a little bit.
Do a little. Yeah.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thank
there you
for
you
coming,
go.
Mike. No, kidding.
Do the Andy Griffith theme.
You know,
you won't do anything, won't
that's
you?
Very good, Michael.
You're
very
awesome.
Good. Do you still need to audition, or do people just go, Michael, I am familiar with your work. Come on in and do this part in the movie.
Come on in. Let's see. Can you whistle?
Yeah, right. That's the number one question. But do you still have to audition?
I don't mind auditioning.
No?
I mean, if the material's, you know, good,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to go in and meet people and say, well, let's give it a read, you know?
Yeah.
And then all actors should, you know, should be that way.
Yeah, but they know what they're getting with you.
But you know what? It's over the years. I went through moments in time in my career where I'm like, do I have to go and do this?
Yeah.
You know, do I have to go and jump through hoops for this?
Yeah.
And then there were times when I'm like, you know what? I like fighting for this.
Yeah.
Because when you get the gig, it's like it feels like I deserve this.
You appreciate it more?
I beat out everybody else. You know, that's when I was like a little competitive.
Yeah.
And now I'm not that. You know, I'm like, you know what? It's hard enough to get the job. It's hard enough to end up doing a great job on the piece.
Right.
So I you know, there's a lot of those games we used to play. I don't play anymore. I just like they know my work.
Right.
And you want me to do it or not do it or yeah, whatever.
Is there a part that got away that you wish you got?
Many.
Is there? Yeah.
Many.
Yeah.
Everything that Denzel Washington has ever done. Absolutely. He gets some great roles.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely great roles.
Are you hooking up with John McNaughton to do something again?
We are trying our best to get some money and get some people that will help us make this movie. It's called A Good Man is Hard to Find. It is a Flannery O'Connor piece. A classic, amazing writer, died way too young. Very young. And so A Good Man Is Hard to Find is one of her classics. And we have an awesome writer who has added to it, and we've made it a feature-length film.
Awesome.
So it's already shot. It's just not distributed.
It's not even shot yet. No, we're in the beginning stages.
Yeah.
It's not even cast yet. So.
Someone wants to, for me.
You know, yeah. If I want,
you're in.
Yeah.
All right.
Listener John wants to talk to you. Of course, John McNaughton, Michael Rooker were together in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. And John, you have a connection to that movie?
Yes, I do. My late brother, Tom, owned Swanhead Records in LaGrange. And during the course of that, he became business partners with this guy, Ray, and they started a video company. Well, that went south, and Ray moved to California. And he got a part in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. And Michael's there. I think they're.
That's right. I put my TV set over his his fat little head.
My brother was kind of like justification for having a bad relationship with this guy by seeing you make him go haywire.
Yeah, put him on television.
That was so cool.
Yes, you did.
Brother and me smile. That was awesome.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
All right, John, we'll go see him. He's going to be at Wizard World all weekend long. Are you there?
No, I'll be there Friday and Saturday. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Today and tomorrow only.
All right.
We'll do. Thank you both. Thank you all.
I remember that scene. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. We've talked about this before. It's sick, it's vile, yet beautiful. It's a really great movie. Although,
you know,
my 14-year-old...
Remember when we did it, though?
Yeah, you're right.
There were so many movies out there that glorified the violence, glorifying rape and murder and mayhem. Just totally beautiful, slow-motion shots, and just horrifying stuff, and making it look... pathetically entertaining. And then you get Henry...
Yeah.
There ain't no cop chases in this.
No.
And the only cops that are in this movie are the ones that showed up along the Chicago River at about 3 a.m. and stopped us from shooting, thinking we were throwing bodies in the water. Hey, guys, come here. We got a call. You guys are throwing some bodies in the water out here. And so, no, we're doing a movie, dude. We're doing a movie. Let's see. Open the trunk.
Wow.
And they looked and they go, you're doing a movie. Okay, go on. Finish up. Left.
There wow. I didn't know that.
Wouldn't you say,
Michael?
It's
a great moment.
If you look at the films that have taken a guy like Henry, a guy who's just based in evil, you could almost put it up there with Clockwork Orange. You could put it up there with Psycho. You could put it up there with Silence of the Lambs. That's how good it is.
Yeah. It was before Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. Way before.
Way before.
So, yeah.
Although my 14-year-old, we have a VHS copy of Henry, and he's like, could you bring that in for Michael Rooker to sign? And I said, it's in the crawl space. And I'm like, have you seen this movie yet? And he said, no. I said, you can't watch it. You can't watch it
he's
at 14.
He's seen it 12 times already.
Probably.
Michael Rooker's here. You know why? Well, because he's appearing at Wizard World Chicago. That's why. That's today and tomorrow. The convention itself goes through Sunday, but if you want to see Michael, you got to see him either today or tomorrow. We'll take a quick break and then more with Michael Rooker. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets it done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I still love The Walking Dead. Coming back in October.
Earl Dixon.
Should have a spinoff.
A total spinoff.
Right?
Yeah, why not?
I would totally do that.
He should have an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
He and Daryl as little boys growing up.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be really good.
Except then you wouldn't get to be in it. So
no,
we want you
could
in
be.
It.
Me and Norman Reedus could play little 12-year-olds.
Well, no, they did.
Yes,
they'd
you could.
Have you as
with
adults
tiny, with
as well.
Tiny little 12-year-old clothing.
Yes. Boy, that's a great
with
show.
With 12-year-old dirty faces, you know.
The skateboarding dead.
Yes.
That would be excellent.
Michael Rooker's with us. He's going to be today and tomorrow at Wizard World in Donald D. Stevens Convention Center, Rosemont. It's happening all weekend, but you have to go today and tomorrow to see Michael Rooker.
Did you hear the compliment, by the way, from Thomas Ian Nicholas, our last guest? Wendy said, of all the people there, who are you most excited about seeing? And he said you.
That's because we've been seeing each other all morning.
He knew you were on next. Right, can I read this text here? Please tell Michael he has always been one of my favorite actors as I began following his career since 1990's Days of Thunder. Can you please ask him if there has been talk of possibly making a prequel of the backstory of his Yondu character from Guardians? His character was as charismatic as he is, and that could be a great movie. Thanks. This is Joe from Richmond.
That would be a great movie, and I'm up for it. Let's get the money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can get money crowdfunding anywhere now.
You could.
GoFundMe page. You could definitely do that.
Do a GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
GoFund Michael Rooker.
Right. It's easy.
It's up now. Easy.
What movie are you doing? Nothing. I just want the money.
You know what else? I'm sure you've thought of this. You would be a great Bond villain.
You know what? I think there should be a Hillbilly Bond.
Yeah.
I knew where it.
James. I'm James Bond, y'all. 007.
Why hasn't
you
that
don't
happened?
Like it?
Right.
Careful.
You don't like, yeah, like my truck?
Instead of an Aston Martin, he would drive around in a Ford pickup.
He'd have an old Ford pickup. Well, what about a Chevy? You can
have a Chevy,
too.
Yeah. Yay.
Oh, man, that's a great idea. I hope Cubby Broccoli is listening. So do you ever go to producers of films and say, I know you have an idea, but here's my idea. Let's think about this for a minute. Has that ever happened to you?
I do not.
You don't do that?
I don't want to ever do that.
No?
Who are you calling?
What's up?
Hello?
Yeah, what do you want?
Money.
Now you know why me and John McNaughton think alike. We totally think alike.
Oh, is that John McNaughton?
John McNaughton, you're on WGN Radio.
Hey, John.
Oh, hey.
We were talking about you. Were your ears burning?
Yeah, we were saying really bad things about you, man.
Well, that's easy enough to do.
Like he's just now waking up. Dude, I've been up since 6 a.m.
Get up at 5:30. I was at the gym at 7.
He was at the gym at 7. Look, we're about to do a movie. No more gym working out, okay? We're going to find you on the gym leaning over, gasping for breath somewhere.
That's right. No more gym. We'll go straight to the bar.
Well, John, you're our 10th caller, so you win tickets to see Michael Rooker at Wizard World Chicago.
John, congratulations, buddy. You get to come, and I'll do an autograph for you.
Oh, thanks.
All right, a good man is hard to find. Good luck with that, John.
How much are you going to charge me for that autograph?
Yeah, I give you a discount.
That's nice.
You're a friend, you're a buddy. You know, we're about to do a movie together if we can ever find some money.
We're doing pretty good. We'll see. I talked to Ed yesterday. Things
okay.
We're on the air.
Don't be. Yeah, but we are doing well. We're gonna end up doing this. Ain't we? Ain't we, John?
I'm counting on it.
John, it was so much fun having you in last year. Really, really a good time.
You had John here?
Yeah. He was in with you.
You were here with him.
We were.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was for the anniversary of Henry.
You said you'd never forget it.
I did?
You said yes.
I'll send you a picture.
I don't remember that. Send me a picture. I barely remember yesterday, John. You know that. Okay.
That's right.
I love you, man. We'll chat with you later. Say hello to John McNaughton, everybody. We love this man. Come on out to the Wizard World thing today, tomorrow.
Rosemont.
Today and tomorrow, John. I'm only there 2 days, okay?
All right.
Take care, John.
See you, John.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Sorry, John.
Michael, one more thing about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hold on. Just keep talking.
All right.
Wait, hang on. We can put him on the air. You can talk to him again. Now we've got Thomas Ian Nicholas out front, and they're talking to each
through
other.
The window. It's beautiful.
We've completely lost
that's
all control
the,
of
that's
this.
That's how the stars are, Wendy.
And somebody says if there's a Hillbilly Bond, he wouldn't drink a martini. He'd be drinking a Busch Light.
Probably. Right. Save some money there. One more thing about Guardians of the Galaxy. adding Kurt Russell to the cast made it already even better somehow, didn't
you
it?
You thought so?
Yes, I did think so.
Kurt is an awesome
guy. I love
him. He's my buddy. I love the man. And, of course, we did Tombstone together. So
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome
We
actor.
Were talking about him yesterday. I don't know if you know the backstory, but at some point, Kurt Russell was going to be a Major League Baseball player. His dad was a Major League Baseball player.
I believe that. He's quite physical. He's very good.
And doesn't seem to age, much like yourself.
I don't age.
You don't age.
You don't age at all.
Like a fine wine.
Exactly the same.
No.
I don't know how you do it.
Like a fine moonshine.
Why
maybe.
Age?
You know what it is? It's the whistling. It keeps you young, I bet.
How did you know this?
I just know it.
Are we going to see a Guardians 3?
There is going to be a Guardians 3, yeah. There will be a Guardians 3.
With you?
No, I don't think so. I died in Guardians 2, don't you remember?
But there are
spoiler, guys.
Science fiction, anything can happen.
Well, this is true, but if it happens, I don't know about it.
Oh.
You know, so,
all right. We'll figure out a way.
Well, you know what? I'm not saying that this character may never, ever come back.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say that. I don't know if anyone can say that.
Merle Dixon died and he came back. So it's not.
I should come back again.
Yondu should come back as a zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Oh,
Zombies
my
of the Galaxy.
Goodness. Leave it to the people at WGN to think up these things.
That's where
it's a pleasure to see you again, Michael Rooker. We love you.
Always a pleasure to do commercials with you.
Yeah. I don't like it so much.
Michael, thank you so much. Go see Michael Rooker at Wizard World in Rosemont today and tomorrow. The convention runs through Sunday, but he's only there today and tomorrow. Great to see you again.
Come on out. Show the love. And we appreciate everything. And everyone that comes out.
You do.
Out
you appreciate your fans more than anyone I've ever met.
I really do. I have a blast.
Cool. We'll see you then. You can go to michaelrookeronline.com or go to wizardworld.com. Great to see you again.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Rocking a little Rush. Kevin loves Rush.
Yes, I do.
I'm just going through the crazy pictures that we had with Michael Rooker. I really do feel we were babysitting.
Yeah, it was similar to babysitting, you know, and we at some point laid a blanket down on the ground and said it's nap time, but he would not abide by that.
Dave Ennett is still in the sports department right now. And Dave, when I walked in, you said something to me because I went to the White Sox game last night. Dave, do you remember what you said to me?
I did, because I had seen on Facebook, I think you posted a picture from the ballpark.
I
believe I said, wow, you got to see a walk-off win for the Sox last night.
Quite an exciting finish, Wendy.
What a great finish.
Yeah.
You had to be so excited, so happy.
I like to call it a walk-out win. We left early.
You can't leave early.
I know, and I feel so bad. We were there as guests of Lorianne and Roy Spencer of Permaseal. We were in the scout seats. We had
dry seats, by the way.
What?
Their seats are completely dry. They perma-sealed those seats, and even during a torrential rainstorm, those seats remain dry.
And watching the game, and it was pretty exciting. My buddy Lurie did a great catch in the field, and then knocked it out. He got a home run.
Hey, how about little Alan Hansen with a little league home run?
Yes,
which was a triple and an error to go all the way around the bases earlier in the game.
I didn't know how that was because I'm not new to baseball, but I didn't know. Yeah. He got a triple, and then there was an error, so he took it home because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And I figured out since the fireworks didn't go off that it wasn't really a home run.
Right. Not really a home run, but in that situation, they might as well shoot off the fireworks.
Sure.
Right?
Well, they didn't.
Yeah. No, it's not a home run. But.
Yeah, I know.
But still, to see that finish, Wendy, that come from behind exciting White Sox finish, your heart must have been going a million miles an hour.
Well, here's the thing. We saw it at home.
Oh.
I know. I feel so bad.
When was the last time you were at a White Sox game?
2 years
last
ago.
Night? So you're only going once every 2 years. You finally get out there.
I know, and I feel so bad about it because we have changed, Jimmy Mack and I. We used to go and, you know, you can drink a lot in the scout seats and enjoy great food. And we're old now. We enjoyed the buffet too much. We were sitting there like, we need a nap.
This is highly disappointing.
We're lame.
This is so disappointing.
I know. And it wasn't looking good, Dave, until, you know, they tied it up and then walk-off home run.
Yeah,
and
they tied it up in the eighth inning. It was one of their best wins of the year.
I know. Yes. I know.
You know, in a year where they don't have all that many.
I know. I know.
And Dave, I saw at the end of the game every member of the White Sox, both present and past. I saw Richie Allen come out. Carlos May was there. That was so exciting, and you missed all that.
I know, and it was Blackhawks night, so you have your Jim Cornelison.
He was there?
Here's the problem. He was singing the anthem, and Sox fans, there's a lot of bleed over with Sox fans and Hawks fans and Cubs fans and Hawks fans, but people didn't know what to do because it was a baseball game, yet yeah. Jim Cornelison was singing, so part of the people were yelling during it, and part of them weren't because we didn't know. It's like if you're at a Hawks game, you're going crazy during the anthem.
Right.
It was different being at Sox Park.
Well, tell me you were there for Coach Q throwing out the first pitch.
I was going to bring that up, too, and you're forcing me to. It was great seeing Coach Q out there wearing his White Sox jersey. Mm-hmm. It hit the dirt before the plate.
Well, what he was trying to do was Derek Holland, the pitcher, was actually catching the first pitch.
Yeah.
And I think that Coach Q was just, he was trying to get Holland to make a save.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Okay. So, I didn't see it.
He threw it low purposely.
Yeah. All right. I didn't see that.
But maybe the game, a one-timer, Dave.
Yeah, a one-timer.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It's the only timer. Yeah. But the game took, Wendy, 2 hours and 43 minutes.
That's a fast game.
That is a snappy ball game.
Yes.
It was moving very quickly.
When
I
did
know.
You leave? How late into the game did you leave?
Mid-seventh.
Oh.
I know. I was too full.
Oh.
I was eating the blackened chicken salad like it was going out of style. And we just sat there. We had a beer. Then we ordered a second beer. And it's like, yeah, we're getting old.
I mean, if you'd said it's going to take forever to get out of here
where
this game ends. No, it wasn't even that.
You just felt bloated?
I just was full.
We left
the kids at home. It was the first week of school. I'm like, it's a school night.
There was a time at White Sox Park, old White Sox Park, Comiskey Park, where you could sit there, you could order some chicken, and Wilbur Wood would come and share it with you. He'd sit down next to you and have a couple pieces.
True.
Remember that, Dave?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That was when baseball was
Wood
baseball.
Wood Fire Chicken. That's where it got its
right.
name.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I'm so disappointed in myself.
So did you guys debate whether or not you should leave, or did you?
Jim did not want to go, but I said, I have to.
Yeah. Didn't you see the rally unicorn?
Yeah, the rally unicorn was there.
What?
Oh,
what is that?
The harbinger of what's to come.
Yes.
That the White Sox are going to rally and come back and win. Beat the visitors, their worst opponent.
I know.
That's the team that's
one
given
of the
them
best
the hardest
games
time over the years.
All
the visitors.
Season.
Didn't Ozzie used to call them the piranhas?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I miss Ozzie.
So in two more years, when you go to another game,
I'm
going to leave early again?
No, I feel bad. It wasn't looking great.
But that's what makes it more exciting when you say, the odds of us coming back, we can't possibly win this thing, and then they do.
Shields pitched, it was going pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel terrible.
Larry Garcia had that. Not only did he have that great catch.
That's what started him out. He felt really confident after that great catch, diving catch in center field.
It spurned them. It made them try harder.
Then he hits a home run.
I know.
The bottom of the inning.
That's
then
that.
He gets a double.
That was
you
awesome.
Saw that at home, though. Yeah. I saw it at home.
No, I saw that live as it happened.
Oh, you did see that at the stadium? All right.
I know. Aren't you ashamed of me?
I'm ashamed for the White Sox nation, for Bill Naharodny, for Joel Horland. I'm embarrassed for you, for all those people.
At least the Spencers don't know you left early.
Right. They would never.
Yeah, don't tell them,
this
please.
This would kill them. This would destroy them.
I know. Sorry,
they
Roy
made
Spencer.
Your basement dry, and this is
I
how
know.
You repay them.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm ashamed of myself.
Good. Listen, that Wilbert Wood story obviously is fictitious. But a real story is that Babe Ruth would do that many times in Stadium.
Sit with fans and eat? Yeah,
and have a cigar.
Yeah. Buy the hot dogs and, in fact, have a hot dog with them during the game.
All right, that I believe. But there's been a story about Babe Ruth that he used to go to old White Sox Park, and between innings, he would go to McCuddy's across the street and have a beer and come back and play. And
that's not
impossible.
True. Yeah, okay, because I've heard that too.
That is also true.
I've heard that that's true also, Bill.
But it's impossible because of the time that it would take him to get from the clubhouse out to McCuddy's, order a beer, drink the beer, and come back. The games didn't have commercial breaks in between like they do now, so it was a faster game.
It was a slower game.
Right. But if you were Babe Ruth, they waited for you.
And they had a beer waiting for you. You didn't have to order it. What, are you crazy?
That's right.
And he had a body double.
Wait, Babe Ruth had a body double?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Did you see Pride of the Yankees?
God help. Hey, do you guys know the only Cardinal that has a memorial in center field in Yankee Stadium? It's not a Yankee. He's a Cardinal. You know who he is?
Dave?
The only
You're my lifeline.
Cardinal.
Cardinal George?
The only Cardinal.
The only Cardinal.
That has a memorial just like Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig in that center field museum area.
Is it Stan Musial?
No.
Why would Stan?
No? Lou Brock?
Give you one more guess.
Was he a catcher?
Was he a catcher?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Boy, this is tough. Is this a trick question?
Yep.
It is a trick question.
No, not really.
No?
It's absolute fact.
All right.
You
want
to know who he is?
Yes.
Cardinal Stritch of New York. He was a avid Yankee fan.
You were
close with Cardinal George.
Bill wins that one by default.
You just had the wrong card, the wrong archdiocese.
I did.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye, Michael.
Ashamed.
You should be ashamed.
I know.
This is a black mark on the White Sox fandom of Chicago.
I don't know if Jimmy Mack's talking to me because I did make him
seriously.
Leave early, but he got to watch it at home.
It's not
where
the same.
It's big screen TV.
Nah, did you guys sing Na Na Hey Hey Goodbye at your TV?
No.
What if Ron Karkovice is listening, Wendy?
Karko, I'm sorry. We saw one of Ron Kittle's benches. I sat in it.
Did you? Did you grab some bench?
Yes, I did.
All right, we will take a break. Wendy's punished. She's in the timeout chair. She left the White Sox game early. Dave, thank you for hanging on and believing in Wendy. That means the world to her.
I still do.
All right.
Aw, thank you, Dave.
That's something. All right, we'll take a break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. While you were leaving the White Sox game early yesterday, I had an important mission, Wendy. I needed a new belt. I've had the same belt.
Do you wear a belt?
Yeah, I'm wearing a belt right now. Look at this.
Ooh.
You're welcome. So my daughter Reese and I went to Old Orchard to get a belt, and we went to Macy's. And, you know, all belts are basically the same. There's some variation when you're choosing a belt, but very little. I just needed a black leather belt, no big deal. And I found one I liked, and I was ready to purchase it until I saw the name of the person who's responsible for this belt.
I have a guess.
Take a guess. All I'll tell you is it's a celebrity, and that's all I'll tell you.
DT?
No.
I thought it was a Donald Trump belt.
No, it was not a Donald Trump belt.
Mark Anthony?
No. It's not, does Mark Anthony make belts?
Yeah.
Does he? I didn't know that. The singer Mark Anthony does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Kohl's carries that.
I had no idea. Because when I go belt shopping, and I do about every third year, I usually go with...
about as often as I go to a Sox game. Did you leave early?
I did not leave early. I purchased my belt.
Good, because your pants would have fallen down.
How embarrassing.
Would have fell down. What the heck?
I always go with a name, like I'll go with a Christian Dior or a Bill Blass or
Calvin
Klein. Calvin Klein, a name that I'm familiar with that I know has something on the line when making a belt. But I was not aware that Ryan Seacrest is now making belts. And I thought to myself, this is a good belt. It's got a buckle. It's got different holes. Like if I gain some weight or if I lose some weight, I got five
Every
different options.
Every belt has that. There are various degrees of design on belts.
Right.
Though. There's distress. There's shiny.
Yeah. Well, I was distressed when I learned that Ryan Seacrest was going to make money off my belt purchase. So I took it back and I went with a different one. And I have to say this. His belts were $5 more than all the brand names that I just told you. He's just somehow upscaling on the market on belts.
Because he's younger. They use younger cows for the rawhide.
I didn't know that. All right. But the reason I bring it up is, first of all, he lost a sale. Because I know they go, we want to appeal to the kids out there who love Ryan Seacrest, so we'll throw his name on belts. Well, it worked the wrong way on me. I returned it and got a different belt. But here's the reason I bring this up. On the belt, which I bought last night, but I'm wearing proudly today, was this tag.
This is the one you bought?
Yeah, it's the one I'm wearing right now. That was on the inside of the belt, that tag. It's instructions on how to make the belt work.
Well, you bought a reversible belt.
But
that's what I buy the little kids when they get their little kid suits. Because if you don't want black, you can reverse it and do. That's what little kids wear.
It's like wearing. I bought two belts in one, Wendy. I'm ambidextrous, so I never know. I might need a brown belt one day. I might need a black the next day.
You pull the buckle out, you twist it. And
but everyone knows that, don't they? Is there anyone who's ever purchased a belt that doesn't know how to make your belt work?
They're usually for little kids. That's why they have pictures.
I couldn't believe, like, a reversible belt just means you turn it the opposite way and you put it on.
No, you don't need an instruction. No, you don't. You always put your belt in so the buckle's on the left-hand side. Put the buckle on the left-hand side.
Da, 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 da. That's musical youth.
You always thread your belt loops where the buckle will end up on the left side.
But everybody knows that.
Yeah, but if you turn it the other way, you'll have the buckle on the right side. All you do is... You don't even know how to read the picture. You pull the buckle out and twist it.
But doesn't everyone know that?
You just said you thread it the other way.
You don't thread it the other way. You just flip it around.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I have other belts.
There's a prettier side to the buckle and there's a back side of the buckle. Take your belt off.
My pants will fall down. You're trying to trick me. Then you'll spray me with club soda. This isn't my first belt
rodeo. I've never been so forceful to you ever in my life, but I want to show you what you do.
You know what just happened with Taylor Swift. Do you want it to happen here? Because it will, if that's what you're trying to
do. I just want to touch your belt, not while you're wearing it.
Kevin, HR, as soon as the show's over, schedule a meeting with HR.
Buckle out and it swivels.
Yeah, I know that.
So you're not just putting the belt on upside down.
But does it need instructions? Like, is there ever been anyone, you know, like when you're on an airplane and they tell you how your seatbelt works and everybody listens and they go, oh, yeah, you put it in there and you put it in. And, oh, all right, I'll try that. Everybody knows how a seatbelt or a regular belt works at this point, right?
This is a reversible belt. I can't even say it. I'm so upset.
It's exciting.
It isn't. It's for little kids when you don't want to buy two belts. A man usually has a brown one and a black one.
I also have a blue one.
What?
I got three. I have a. I'm
from the 80s. Why do you have a blue one?
Just for some flair, you know.
Oh my god!
Maybe a special occasion.
Someone said, "Well, all right."
Just in case Joe Madden calls you in for a leaf pitcher.
What if Joe Madden wants me to throw in the eighth?
We need the blue belts,
right?
847 says, "I am left-handed, and my belt buckle has always been on my right side, so he threads his pants differently." Oh. Ryan, what side is the buckle on your pants?
Okay, is the buckle the whole thing or the finger thing?
The silvery thing.
Yeah, the buckle.
Silver, left side.
Yep, yeah. That's what. Kevin, are you wearing a belt?
Yeah. What was the question?
The buckle is on.
It's on my left side.
Yeah.
If I'm looking down.
What? So that's I just.
Yeah. That's where it
all
is,
right? So how would you get it to be brown?
I would flip the whole belt around and do it the exact same way, but reversed.
But take it off, the other side of the belt.
No.
I'll look the other way.
That's not nice.
Kevin, have you ever had a reversible belt?
No.
Because
so.
Little kids wear them. That's why there's a little picture on there. It's like a Lego description.
I'll tell you what.
I've got one.
Yeah, Ryan and I have.
And do you just flip the belt around or do you pull the buckle out and twist it?
You pull it out and then you twist it.
But
you could, I guess you could flip it if it's already in your belt buckles, right? You can just kind of roll it over.
Can I be honest with you? I don't plan on ever using the brown side. I got a brown belt that I'm thrilled with, and I didn't even know it was reversible until this morning when I was reading the instructions on how to use the belt. I was almost late for work because I had to study this three-pronged instruction manual.
Should have gone with the Seacrest.
Next time I'm going with the Seacrest.
Did they have a Carson Daly belt, too?
Yes.
Just put around your neck?
And a Billy Bush scarf.
Oh.
From the vanilla collection.
Don't forget Bill's ambidextrous. We know.
So that plays into it.
Bill, what planet are you from? Beltar?
I don't know. There's a planet called Beltar.
I don't know what to tell you, but
I'm insulted that they would even include instructions on a belt.
But you don't just flip it.
Flip it good.
You pull the buckle out a little, and then you flip the buckle.
Yeah. But who would know that?
You just flip the whole belt over.
I don't intend on ever using the brown side. If you ever see me wear the brown side of this belt, you'll know something's gone horribly wrong. Because I've got a brown belt I love.
Is it a karate brown belt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I beat Daniel San in a tournament.
We need to take a break. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN. We're already talking films off the air.
Yeah. We might as well do it on the air. It'd be silly to have Patrick McDonald in and not discuss this on the air. Patrick, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Excellent. Patrick, of course, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com and chief guide for ChicagoFilmTour.com. People still have time if they want to see the tour. It's the weather's still pleasant. Go
That's
see
right.
it. Right.
Featured on Fox 32 this week,
oh, congratulations.
By the way. Yes.
Very, very nice.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind.
No problem.
America lost two great comedians last weekend,
yes.
Dick Gregory and Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis plays a big part in the world of film, doesn't he?
Oh, he certainly does. Not only did he make over 50 films as an actor, but he was acknowledged, especially in the 60s, he was sort of the first one to come out as a director and say, here's some procedural stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book called The Total Filmmaker. Interesting, filmmaker is spelled F-I-L-M-maker being capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
A very unusual spelling of that word, but that tells you the early days. And he also taught a course at UCLA that was attended by Mr. Steven Spielberg, Mr. George Lucas.
Hmm.
In fact, one of Spielberg's early films, Amblin, which he named his production company
after,
Lewis, after he showed it, said, now this is a filmmaker.
Why is he so polarizing, do you think?
Because he can't keep his mouth shut. His big mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says things off the cuff and, you know, lives to regret them, basically. Yeah. Or now he won't.
So many filmmakers and comedians paid tribute to him after
yes.
he died over the weekend. And many, I'll use Jim Carrey as a perfect example,
yep.
said that without him, without Jerry Lewis, Jim Carrey wouldn't have gone into the line of work he went into.
Well, it just is academic whenever you see a rubber-faced comedian that they are the protege of Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, you think about his early days and how manic he was. It's just, it invented a new way of being a comedian, basically, I think.
Why did France take a liking to him more than the United States?
That does seem weird, though, because he was goofball, and
yeah.
they seem more, I don't know, not reserved, but...
I think the extreme nature of his comedy, basically.
Yeah.
They were, again, I think that's a good point. They are a reserved culture. So to see somebody express themselves like that was very entrancing to the French, and...
They weren't used to it. It was something different.
The old joke. See, Jerry kind of took himself out of the U.S., I think, during the 70s when he was in that pharmaceutical haze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was increasingly manic on those telethons, and you're just like, what's happening to this guy?
Right.
You know?
We talked about several of his films on Monday,
right.
but I want to bring up just one or two really quickly.
Yes.
The Day the Clown Cried is one of the most famous stories in film history. He made a movie about a clown who his job was to lure children in the death camps to their ends.
Is that based, forgive my ignorance, is that based on a true story?
Well, I guess a legend or something, because it was remade sorta as Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
So obviously there were stories going around. I don't think it's based on a true story.
But why? Life is Beautiful is a magnificent
yes.
film and very sensitive. And from what we know about this film, and I guess you can see the whole thing now on YouTube.
Yeah, it's
up
there.
It was a hidden.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't know how long it is, but it was almost like
I've never seen all of it. I've seen clips.
They used some clips in the A&E bio of him.
Oh, did they?
And I think that is the only evidence of the movie that exists. Now, the legend is that Jerry is put in a vault
right.
and does not want anybody to see it. There has been a few people who have seen
Harry
it.
Harry Shearer of The Simpsons says he has seen it. Yeah.
Yes. And
that it lives up to its billing as one of the worst movies of all time. Because Jerry didn't know if he was making a comedy or a tragedy,
yes.
and he tried to mix both, and it just didn't work.
Yes, and he lost financing, and basically he never got to formulate the film. I mean, to be fair to Jerry, he did not make a complete film. He made an idea for a film, started
yeah.
it, and never got to bring it to fruition. And it was supposed to be his breakout.
Yeah.
And... Never came to see the light of day, and he was adamant about nobody ever seeing it. So yeah. Hopefully there's a castle in his will where all the footage will be released. And again, I think by the time that happens, we will have moved on to an extent where it's not going to live up to its promise.
The other movie Wendy and I discussed the other day was Hardly Working, which was a movie that Roger Ebert, who wrote a whole book about bad films and reviews, went out of his way. Roger Ebert went out of his way to just say, how in the world could anyone make this movie? It was so awful.
Well, again, I think that was at the point of his pharmaceutical haze. He made Hardly Working and Cracking Up as two of his last two directorial efforts. You can tell that they're low budget. I have a great story about Hardly Working. It was in Bloomington, Indiana, where I saw that film during college. And the film, the place that we were seeing it was just falling apart, one of those old theaters. And a whole section of the roof came crashing down onto the seats.
And that was the second most tragic thing going on
of Hardly Working. We had to leave after that.
So is there a new breed of Jerry Lewis? Does this generation have somebody
like
him?
That's a good question. I think you just see it in whenever you see something extreme like... well, you know, Jim Carrey being the prime example. Can you think of other extreme
to some extent, we mentioned Life is Beautiful.
Yes.
Roberto Benigni kind of channels him in that movie quite a bit. Mr. Bean, to some extent, is Jerry Lewis.
Yes. You
know? Mr. Bean is funny.
Mr. Bean is very funny.
I don't know why.
Now, you think Jerry Lewis is funny?
I don't.
I have to say I do, but I told Wendy this the other day. There were a bunch of his movies that when I was a kid, if it was on TV, I was glued to the set.
Yes.
Most notably the one where he plays seven characters in a movie, and I don't remember what the movie is.
Which Way to the Front?
No, he did that in Which Way to the Front, I think, too.
Family Jewels.
Family Jewels.
Yes.
That's the one. So when I was a kid, boy, would that make me laugh. And then when I got to be 8 or 9, I'd watch it again, and I didn't laugh at all.
Your taste had become more sophisticated by fourth grade.
Yeah,
Did you think he was funny? Because I have found myself saying, has he ever been funny? It just didn't appeal to me.
I guess I look at him historically. And then, so when I look at the early Martin and Lewis pictures are hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
Even today.
They are.
To me. And then the Cinderfeller and Disorderly Orderly and Nutty Professor, I think are funny.
Nutty Professor has an extra layer to it because it's really dark.
Does. Yeah. Have you ever seen The Bellboy?
Yeah.
That's the one I would recommend as far as solo Jerry is concerned.
All right, I'll watch it and get back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different. And it's very... show business in 1960, which I enjoy.
The moment that was the most Jerry Lewis moment ever for me was he was on with David Letterman one time, and David's asking him something serious, and he goes, David, would you like to see my Pride and Joy? And David goes, yeah, sure. And he brings out a photograph of Pride and Joy dish detergents.
That's an old bit.
Yeah, of course it is. But I just went, it's so amazing that a guy on network TV would stop a serious question for that.
You think about his roots, man. He was vaudeville.
Yeah.
His father, Danny Lewis, was in vaudeville.
Yeah.
And he, in 46, was doing basically a vaudeville act where he was miming records a la Andy Kaufman.
Right.
And that's when he met Dean, you know. It was a mobbed-owned club in Atlantic City, the 500. And he and Dean were doing solo acts. They knew each other from New York. But the mob guy comes back and says, if you guys don't get together, I'm going to fire the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote their first act on a piece of butcher paper, and that's what launched it.
See, knowing the history changes my view a little bit. I mean,
it's
he really
cool.
was ahead of his time.
Yes, he was. Absolutely.
And that was the perfect partnership because you kind of had polar opposites. You had a very talented, great singing guy and just, you know, a guy just being a loon, and it worked.
and Dean was a funny guy, but it was a contrast funny, you know.
Yeah.
Still smooth funny. It wasn't like he didn't want to make himself look bad at all, and Jerry didn't care.
Yeah, amazing. All right, Patrick McDonald is here. We're discussing film. We're 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder along with Patrick McDonald. Patrick is a film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's also the chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour. You want to go to ChicagoFilmTour.com or call them at 312-593-4455. I just saw the announcement.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just saw the announcement yesterday that there's going to be a new Joker movie,
yes.
and it'll have to do with the beginnings of the Joker, how the Joker became the Joker.
Yes.
And there's a big name attached that I don't think we've ever seen attached to a superhero movie before.
Marty Scorsese is going to be the producer on that. But they have The Hangover's Todd Phillips directing, so watch out. No.
So that would indicate probably a comedic slant on this, right?
Well, I think what they're trying to expand upon is, and this is not going to be part of the DC universe. This whole obsession with universe now is really bizarre, but you know, the DC is establishing a universe which will continue this fall in Justice League.
Yeah.
And of course, the Marvel universe is fairly established.
Yeah.
So this is just going to be a separate story. In fact, they probably will not have Jared Leto playing the part. They'll have a new actor taking it on. But if we remember from the comic books, he falls into a vat of acid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why his features become a clown face.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts with a red hood on his head.
Oh.
You know, and then reveals himself as the Joker. Yeah. So that's from the...
Don't we already know that, though?
We do already know that.
Yes. But, you know, in the original Batman with Michael Keaton, it turned out that Nicholson's Joker was actually the guy who killed Batman's parents.
Right.
Oh,
in the comics,
yeah,
that guy is Joe Chill.
Yeah.
And in that one, it happened to be Nicholson's character.
You should change your name to that, Joe Chill. It's pretty cool.
Bill Chill.
Joe Chill in the morning.
I would like to be Bill Chill.
Bill Chill in the morning.
And then when Heath Ledger played the Joker, every time he told what happened to him, he gave a different account, right? During the movie, doesn't he say 3 or 4 different times how his face got to be like that?
He was amazing.
Yeah, he was something.
Except so with the...
Yeah, right. Yeah. He had some dry mouth.
It was crazy.
That's
town.
Why he was so crazy.
My friend David Desmalchian, who was in his gang the movie, I was directly asking him, did you see an effect on Heath Ledger when he played the Joker? And he said, no, he did not. So
everything
mean,
you saw,
yeah,
was
he
him.
Did, he would just say he said he would be in the makeup and he'd be clowning around or just being a normal person. It wasn't like he was staying in character and desperately making himself that crazy guy, which again led to his accidental overdose. So
what a great actor!
He was really good in that.
Amazing.
Brokeback Mountain. I mean, I can't believe what a great actor he was.
Yeah. And then just gone with the wind, man.
Very sad. All right, a couple movies opening this week. Let's start out with Leap. What is Leap?
Leap is an animated film, and this will be good for all those people who have daughters who want to get into ballet. And let me bring that up. There it is. It has the voices of Elle Fanning, Nat Wolff, Carly Rae Jepsen, the singer, the great Mel Brooks, and Kate McKinnon. 3.5 out of 5. It's a sappy story, but it's a kid's movie. I'm not going to sit there as a middle-aged man and try to judge something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it has some beautiful choreography and ballet moves in total animation. You're just like... But it's one of those animated films that are sort of photorealistic. So, you know, their faces are so blank.
So
don't give me a close-up on those things.
Are there boys dancers? I need to know that.
In the movie? No, this is purely little girls. They're auditioning for Nutcracker. So they're auditioning for the main little girl's role in Nutcracker.
Is there a little boy dancers, too?
There's a Russian prince who's a dancer in it, and he likes the ladies, so... Which is very unusual in the dancing world, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know.
so good for kids,
hairdresser.
But adults maybe lost on adults.
Yeah,
right?
I think adults will get into the beauty of the film, but kids, especially the little girls and little boys who are studying dance, will really like it, I think.
The next one is one I keep seeing previews for, and it looks fantastic. I hope it is. The only living boy in New York
City. It is. 4 out of 5. I love anything set in New York. And this is modern New York. You know, this is the New York that is Disneyfied, and of course they have the dinner party where everybody's complaining about that, which includes Wally Shawn. So you know you're in a New York movie now.
From My Dinner with Andre.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he always appears in the Woody Allen movies at the dinner table, especially in Melinda.
Yeah.
And anyway, the story involves Jeff Bridges as sort of a dude character. In fact, he narrates the film, and when the narration started, speaking of Ed Asner, I thought it was Ed Asner.
Oh, yeah?
His voice is turned into Ed Asner's voice.
Kind of grumbly.
Grumbly, you know, the Lou Grant voice. And But he plays a mentor to a kid who lives in the same apartment building. And then there's a mystery associated with that. But the kid finds out that his father is having an affair with a younger woman. Ugh. And it involves him, you know, getting involved in that situation. So those kind of counterbalance stories tells the whole aspect. They're all going to come together at some point. And it's just, you know, it's a literary story. It's the only living boy in New York City is the title of the book that is being worked on as they're going through the story. So it's,
and aside from Jeff Bridges, it's a pretty strong cast, right?
Yes. We have Thomas Callum, a newcomer who plays the young man, but it's Kate Beckinsale, Cynthia Nixon, Pierce Brosnan, who is doing fantastic character roles now. I mean, Pierce Brosnan is probably in the best time in his career. He's post-Bond. He's post all that TV stuff.
No more Remington Steele.
And he'll take a role that, you know, he likes. And he knocks out of the park usually, and he did in this one as well. So 4 out of 5 for Only Living Boy in New York City. And, of course, Terminator 2.
In 3D this time.
In 3D. Didn't
we already have Terminator 2?
Yes, it's in 1991.
But they're just bringing it back. They've 3D'd it, so you can see it.
We're
in
back
3D
to
now.
The 90s now, yeah. Yes. So, James.
Good, your wardrobe will fit in, Bill.
Yeah, excellent. I'll get in for half price.
I like the 80s more, but.
Patrick, thanks so much for coming up. It's Patrick McDonald, everybody, film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com, a great website, and also chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. ChicagoFilmTour.com has all your information.
Thank
Have a good
Patrick.
Weekend.
It's always great.
More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.